Okay, we're going to, the lesson tonight's going to be short, so we're going to get to come back and do a lot more singing. Okay, singing's good. All right. Well, never listen to a professor, he says it's short. Never listen to a pastor, he says it's short. Oof, you never know, do you? Okay, we are in 2 Kings, and we are looking at chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. Now, remember last few weeks, the story that's going on is Josiah has become king at 8 years old. And as we saw in the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles, that he began to seek the Lord when he was 16. And then he began to reform Judah and Jerusalem when he was 26. Now, what he was doing from 8 to 16, I have no idea. What he was doing from 16 to 24, I have no idea. Scriptures don't tell us, and if it doesn't tell us, we don't need to worry about it. But we do know those points. What happens in his 18th year, when he's 26 years old, he sends to Hilkiah the high priest and tells him to get money, find the money in the temple, and repair the temple. The temple has is in shambles. The temple is a mess. And we're going to see, maybe tonight, but beginning next week for sure, what a mess it really is. So Hilkiah goes around looking for the money in the temple. And what does he find? He finds something worth more than all the money that could be found in the temple. What does he find? He finds the book of Deuteronomy. He finds the book of the law. And you remember how the story unfolds? He gives it to Shaphan, who is the secretary to King Josiah. Shaphan comes into Josiah, reads the book of the law to Josiah. And what happens to this king? He comes under great conviction. His heart is torn because of the word that he hears in the book of Deuteronomy. And so he's not sure how to respond. So he tells his advisors to go and seek a prophet, and they find the prophetess Huldah. And remember Huldah, what she says to the advisors who come to her. God's wrath is coming. What is promised in the book of Deuteronomy is coming. However, because Josiah has sought the Lord, it will not happen during his kingship. Wonderful promise there, isn't it? And that leads us up to where we are this evening. Chapter 23, I want to read verses 1 through 3. Then the king sent, and Josiah sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. Lord, I pray that as we consider this passage this evening, that you would strike our hearts with it, that we would see that you bring about reformation and revival, and you do it in your own way. Just pray you give us insight into this passage. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I was looking at the end of chapter 22, and Huldah, you know, she says to the king, God's wrath is coming. And we're going to find out after the death of Josiah, it comes quickly. And it comes savagely as the Babylonians come and destroy Jerusalem and destroy all of Judah. And I thought that the king would hear those words. Would he not go into despair? Would you not go into despair? I mean, this, of course, would never happen, but if we had a prophet that said, you know, God's wrath, it's not going to happen in the next 10 years, but in 10 years it's coming, and it's coming fiercely. Would you not despair over that? Well, it's interesting. Josiah's response is not to despair. What is his reaction? What does he do? Look at verse 1. Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. All the elders, that is the leaders of each village, the leaders of each city in Judah, the leaders in Jerusalem of the households, the clan leaders and so forth, they all gather to them. Here we're going to have what I would call a spiritual convention. It's an amazing thing because Judah and Jerusalem have gone off the track. As we're going to see, even in the temple of the Lord, there are Baals and Asherah. In the temple of the Lord. Josiah does not go into despair, but he seeks to revive his country. No matter how bad it is, no matter how decadent, no matter how spiritually dead, here is this king who seeks to revive his country. And remember, I guess the most amazing thing here is this is God's people. It's not like you're trying to revive Babylonia or Assyria. This is God's people that need reformation and revival. And so he summons all the ruling elders of Judah and Jerusalem, this public event that's going to take place. Remember that. It's not behind closed doors. It's a public event that's going to take place at the temple of the Lord. Okay, now, let's continue. Let's look at verse 2, see what it says. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, went up to the temple. And with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. Here's this convention, this general assembly that he's calling. This is like a synod meeting. What does Josiah do? He reads to them the scriptures. He reads to them who, as one who has been greatly affected by the scriptures, with this great hope that would affect all of God's people as it has affected him. That's his great desire here. He is promoting the knowledge of the Bible in his own land. Promoting knowledge of the Bible. Now let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. I want to look at two passages back here. Now remember, this is the book that he read to the people. And I want to go to Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 20, which talks about the king and the word of God. So this only has to do with Josiah and the book of Deuteronomy. This is one of the most stunning passages to me. In the entire book. Look what it says. God speaking through Moses to the people of Israel. It says this, Deuteronomy 17, beginning of verse 14. When you come to the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me, you may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as a king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Now, here are the verses that are really key. And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." I think that really gets at the heart. You can imagine Josiah hearing that being read to him. He is to read in it every day of his life. Okay, well, it's been lost. The scriptures have been lost. Now, there's a second passage I want to read along these lines that has to do not just with the king, but with the people. Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 13. Deuteronomy 31, beginning at verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, beginning at verse 9. "Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess it." The law is to be read before all the people. And that is what Josiah is doing. Not only has he read it himself as the king, but now he reads it before the people. Here it says the priests are supposed to do that. But, you know, I think we're dealing with a bunch of untrustworthy priests, as we're going to see in a few minutes, probably next week. The king has come under conviction, and now he's doing the book of Deuteronomy himself as he reads it and then reads it to all the people. It's the leaders who are mostly to blame. It's the kings and the priests and the prophets who are mostly to blame. As king, or like king, like nation. Like king, like nation. Like leadership, like nation. That's what you are seeing here. Now, all the people are brought together. Look at that in verse 2. Look at the great merismus, the great merism. All the people, both small and great. It's a merism. Two opposites are all inclusive. All the people are being brought to hear the Word of God. What's the very basis of revival? What's the very basis of reformation? It's the Word of God. Josiah understands that because he's had reformation in his own life. Now that's what he wants for his people. Okay, now look what happens in verse 3. "And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant." I was thinking about this passage. I imagine most of us in here could name three or four covenants in the Old Testament. But I'll bet you this one didn't come to your mind. There's the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant, Noahic covenant, covenant with Adam. Did you even know there was a covenant with Josiah? Oh, what a wonderful thing, isn't it? And what is a covenant? Well, Palmer Robertson, his book Christ of the Covenants, defines it this way. It's a bond in blood, sovereignly administered. It is a relationship, a formal relationship between God and his people. It's a bond, a relationship between God and His people. What is Josiah doing here? He is renewing that covenant relationship because it's been broken again and again and again under Manasseh, under Ammon, under all the people, even in the time of Josiah. But here, Josiah takes the lead to renew that covenant with the Lord, to walk in His ways, to be His people, and that He would be their God. Now, it says here, just a comment or two, it says, and the king stood by the pillar. It's an odd thing, isn't it? What is he talking about? What pillar? I have no idea. But I do know they did this. It was a custom. Go back, same book, chapter 11, verse 14. Chapter 11, verse 14. And this is when Joash is made king over Judah. And the woman who was trying to become queen, have Joash killed, she hears that Joash is going to become king. And look what it says in verse 13 and 14. When Athaliah, she's a wicked toad, Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she went into the house of the Lord to the people. And when she looked, there was the king standing by the pillar, according to the custom. According to the custom. So, this is something important going on here. Josiah is standing at this pillar. He's standing there. When people look, they're saying, the king's at the pillar. This is important. Okay? So, he's standing there. Now, look what happens. The very end of verse 3 says, and all the people joined in the covenant. The Hebrew is quite interesting there. Because what it literally says is, all the people stood in the covenant. The king took his stand by the pillar, made a covenant with the Lord, and then all the people stood in that covenant that Josiah had made. A commitment to this covenant. So, you see, Josiah, one of conviction, a man of conviction, a man of confession, a man whose heart has been changed, is now leading his country back to the right way, back to the good way, back to the Lord's way. Now, what we see, though, I think we need to understand this, is that you can go bad really fast. But to go good takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of changing people's hearts. After Josiah dies, it just quickly goes back to the way it was. But here's a man standing in the gap that God had raised, and one who had a commitment to the covenant of the Lord. Okay, we'll continue next time. Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you for this wonderful example that you called this man to stand in the gap and to bring your people back to orthodoxy, back to the truth of the Scriptures, the Bible, the very foundation of what is true. May we take heart with that as we see around us a land that is decadent, a land that appears to be continuing to fall over the cliff. Oh Lord, may we stand tall as this man did. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.